This message is entitled A Minister of Integrity. A Minister of Integrity, or another way of saying it, integrity of ministry. I've, through my years, have gone through many types of discipline, and in school, I've long jumped in track and field, and that was a lot of training. Played a little football in my early years during school, and of course, that was a lot of training. And played basketball. Probably the most difficult training I ever did was run cross country. It's a little different than just running, you know, long distance. I mean, you're actually in the woods and everywhere running up hills. And throughout my years of schooling and different things, my best friend used to train me in martial arts a little, and that cost a lot of time and effort and wear and tear on your body. And all the things that I've gone through as far as being trained and disciplined, there's nothing that comes close, nothing, than God personally training you for ministry. It is the most strenuous, the most painstaking thing that I've ever gone through and continue to go through, because the training is all throughout life. And the most difficult part of the training is the Holy Spirit showing you yourself. And how unqualified within yourself you are for this job that he's training you for. It's almost contradictory. It's the most agonizing thing for him to show you yourself, which is ugly, apart from him. And him desiring to get within your heart, soul, and mind, and changing it for you to be used by him. One of the most difficult things. I remember a few years ago, one of the presidents got into a sinful state, and it got out publicly what he had done, and he had constantly lied about it. And the debate during that time was, what a man does in private shouldn't reflect upon what he does in public, which is the dumbest thing you can ever say. I mean, you actually show your intelligence by saying that. And it's even more so in ministry. If a surgeon is going to do surgery on you, does it matter to you whether he publicly gets drunk the night before your surgery that he's going to do on you? Does it matter to you? It's in private. Or that same surgeon before your surgery doesn't wash his hands. I mean, he's in a hurry. It's behind the scenes. It doesn't, no one knows it. He's the only one that knows it. Is it going to affect the surgery? Staph infection? Probably one of the most hidden dangers there is, because more people get staph infection from improper cleaning or whatever than is way reported. I can tell y'all gonna be real excited about this message. This is the only one I brought. Some of you are familiar with this story, and the 40s, there was a doctor, William O'Neill Kane, who was trying to change the medical field, because up until that point, all surgeries were done for anesthesia. The patient, the whole body was, knocked out. He was desiring to introduce local anesthesia, so you can do local surgeries. And so he sought a patient that would volunteer for this, because you would be awake, and they could not comprehend being awake doing the surgery on me, and I'm awake. You kidding me? No one could comprehend that. And so he searched and searched for a patient. No one would volunteer. He finally found a patient. Prepared for the surgery. Performed the surgery. The surgery was successful. And instead of 7 to 8 days them leaving the hospital because it was localized, they were gone in 2 days. The recovery was half the amount of time. And it was, the patient was interviewed. How did they think it went? And the person said, it went great. You want to know who the patient was? I mean, the rest of you, I want to know. Y'all just. It was the doctor himself. He localized himself, had a big mirror at different places, and performed and took out his appendix. Just look it up. Oh, I understand, but if you want to do more research on it. So they had pictures, and I'm sure they're still available. They had pictures of him doing the surgery. That's how difficult it is for you to allow the Word of God to perform surgery on your heart. That's how much courage it takes. Go to Psalms 78, please. Verse 78, 70, 78, 70, yes. He also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfold. Now, he's going to tell you why he chose David out of everyone else. From following the ewes that had young, he brought him. The shepherd, Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Repeat 72. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hand. Integrity is what God looks for when he desires a leader, when he desires to use a person. Integrity of heart. The word skillfulness of hand is the word for understanding or wisdom. He saw a man who had integrity of heart and who walked in wisdom. Those are the two main qualifications that God seeks in looking for a leader. And when I say leader, I'm not just saying ministry. I'm saying at your work, in your home, leading your children. Go to 2 Corinthians, please. Chapter 4. Like I said, this is usually a strong message to ministers, and we're all ministers at different stages. Verse 1, therefore, since we have this ministry, now what ministry is he referring to? Look at 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3, just one chapter back. Look at verse 6. He has qualified us, making us sufficient ministers of the new covenant. Now, since we have this ministry, is referring to we're ministers of a new covenant. Verse 8 says we have the ministry from the Holy Spirit. Verse 9 says we have a ministry of righteousness. This is what this ministry that we're ministers of. Therefore, we have this ministry just as we receive mercy from God. I'm reading this out of the Amplified Bible. Granting us salvation, opportunity, and blessings, we do not get discouraged nor lose our motivation. But we have renounced, listen closely, but we have renounced the disgraceful, graceful things hidden because of shame. In other words, we've renounced. We do not allow anything in our lives that we would hide that would bring shame on the ministry. Listen closely. There's nothing in our lives that if we pull the curtain back, we won't be ashamed. Nothing. Now, this is Paul saying that ministers are to live openly and not ashamed of anything or try to hide something that we've done or we're doing. We have to be pure before all men, especially God. Disgraceful things hidden because of shame, not walking in trickery, or adulterating the word of God, but by stating the truth openly and plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Now, this is not just referring to ministers. This is Christians, believers. If you can't see yourself as a minister, just for believers, we can't not afford. Now, here's the thing about it. When you minister, it is just as important what you say and the spirit that it comes from. They're equal in God's eyes. I'll say that again. What you say with your words and what your spirit, what shape your spirit is in, is just as important, because you are not just communicating the word, you're communicating your spirit. Now that's deep, folks. They're one and the same. That's why God is so intent in training and discipline and getting people whose hearts are pure, sincere. Because you can have a minister say the right things, but have the wrong spirit and do more damage than he gave a wrong doctrine. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm telling you. He can say the right thing, but his spirit is communicating to your spirit. And that spirit can affect you just as much as he preached a wrong doctrine. Does that make sense? Are you following what I'm saying? Because some of y'all frowning. Y'all all right? Do I need to get dump some water out there? That's how serious a matter it is. That's how serious a matter it is. And that's why the Holy Spirit spends so much time training a person's inner life. How many times have you experienced meeting someone or talking with someone or whatever, and what they're saying is right on, but it's just, your spirit is like, ugh. Something's off. Your spirit is picking up that person's spirit. Paul says we don't use trickery. We don't use gimmicks to try to manipulate and control people. We get verse 3. But even if our gospel is in some sense hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only to those who are perishing. Now, here's an outline for you. A minister of integrity will minister, number one, truthfully. Truthfully. And this passage, 2 Corinthians 4:1, is talking about how to be truthful in your ministry, truthful in your life, truthful in your dealing with other people, renouncing the hidden things that will cause shame. Not walking in craftiness. These are the lists. Not handling the word of God deceitfully. We preach the word of God truthfully and accurately. Look at verse 5. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves. Folks, that's a mouthful. That's a sermon in itself. There are times that I will look at a ministry or a minister, and he spends more time telling stories about himself than the Word of God. I don't know if you've ever seen that. Telling stories, constantly using himself as an example. The majority of the message is about stories that he's experienced. And I'm sitting here waiting on the, just give me one scripture. Just sneak it in there. And they may start off with a scripture, but the rest of the 45 minutes to an hour is just stories, funny stories, 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 stories. Give me the Word of God, people. I mean, sneak it in there somewhere. Preaching themselves. And you leave that message and you say, man, that was funny. He was funny. He was good. Is that how we're supposed to leave? There's a big difference in being entertained and edified. Most people, I'll take that back, forgive me. Many ministers are entertaining and not edifying. Go to 2 Corinthians 2. Second Corinthians 2, verse 14. This is a number two, staying in the pattern. A minister of integrity will minister trustworthy and trustworthiness. He can be trusted. First one was truthfully. Look at verse 14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us spreads and make evident everywhere the sweet fragrance of the knowledge of God. Not the knowledge of self. For we are the sweet fragrance of Christ, which ascends to God, discernible both among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the latter, to the ones who are perishing, one an aroma from death to death, a fatal offensive odor. But to the other, the believers, an aroma from life to life, a vital fragrance, living and fresh, and who is adequate and sufficiently qualified for these things. For we are not like many acting like merchants. Now this is in Paul's day. He's saying many preachers are like this. Acting like merchants or business people, peddling God's word, shortchanging and adulterating God's message, but from pure, uncompromised motives. Pure and uncompromised. No, that's what we're talking about. Motives. Motives. Things that no one can see. As commissioned and sent from God, we speak his message in Christ in the sight of God. Let me go back to the first one when I said truthfully. Truthful is referring to will not lie. This is for note takers. Will not lie, will not deceive or be deceitful, will not have ulterior motives, will not distort the truth. Now, the person who's trustworthy, number two, this person is reliable, able to keep secrets. That's a major one. You're able to put confidence in them because they are truthful. They're not a con person, a con man. A con man is a confident man. A confident man is one who does everything he can to win your confidence so he can take advantage of you. That's where you get the word con man from. He's endeavoring to win your confidence in him for his personal benefit. But a trustworthy man is one that you can put your confidence in the Christ that's in him. Number three, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Are we understanding this? Go by faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 1. For you know, brethren and sisters, that our coming to you has not been ineffective or fruitless or in vain. But after we have already suffered and been outrageously treated in Philippi, as you know, yet in the strength of our God, we summon the courage to proclaim boldly to you the good news of God regarding salvation amidst great opposition. For our appeal does not come from delusion or impure motives. Paul spoke a lot about motives in ministry, about him and his ministers that travel with him. We don't come to you in impure motives, nor is it motivated by deceit. Our message is complete, accurate, and based on truth. It does not change. But just as you have approved to God to be entrusted with the gospel, just as we have been approved of God, that tells the good news of salvation through faith in Christ, so we speak not as if we were trying to please people to gain power and popularity, but to please God who examines our hearts, expecting our best. For as you well know, we never came with words of flattery. This is the number one tool of a false minister: flattery. You go to Daniel and you see the number one weapon that the Antichrist will use is flattery. That's going to be his number one weapon: to speak well of everybody, to speak positive. Now, there's a big difference in flattery and a sincere compliment or a sincere encouragement. An sincere encouragement seeks to put a blessing in you, seeks to edify you, seeks to encourage you. Flattery can say the exact same word and the motive be wrong, and his motive is to get out of you something. Whether it's something, some information, to win your confidence. But flattery has an ulterior motive. So when you compliment someone, when you encourage someone, check your motive before you say it. This is the discipline I'm talking about, that the Holy Spirit is constantly monitoring on the inside of you. And most Christians ignore it. They've done it so often, the Holy Spirit will say something and they think it's them. Oh, don't do that. You're not saying it right, with the right motive. Why are you saying that? This is number three. A minister of integrity will minister thoughtfully. Thoughtfully. Let's continue reading. Verse 5. For as you well know, we never came with words of flattery, nor with a pretense for greed. God is our witness. Nor did we seek glory and honor from people. I'm coming to the conclusion that the thing that I have to keep in mind, and this is the number one thing, folks, as a minister, that I have to keep at the forefront of my thinking is never seek the credit. That little short phrase will keep you out of a lot of trouble. The Lord is endeavoring to prepare us in that area, that whether you did it or didn't do it, it doesn't matter who gets the credit for it, long as God is blessed. Folks, that's one of the most difficult things in my training as a minister that I have to die to. I look at the life of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was not concerned whether he got the credit or not. That was the motto of his ministry. Let him increase and I decrease. One of the most difficult things for me personally, I'm speaking of me personally, is when I did something and someone steps up and takes the credit for it. And I have to close my mouth. I don't know if you've experienced it. Because it's in me. It's in me. It's in me. To go up and say, what? Are you kidding me? You weren't even around. I'm sure y'all don't never struggle with that. Y'all just looking so holy out there. What are you talking about, brother? Not to take the credit. Not to take the credit. One of the most difficult things in life. Knowing that you did it. Now, of course, I'm not saying that is in all cases. In some cases, the Lord is going to lead you to speak up. But I'm saying as a rule of thumb. Verse 7, but we behave gently. Now, this is the thoughtfulness that we're talking about. We behave gently when we were among you, like a devoted mother tenderly caring for her own children, having such a deep affection for you. We were delighted to share with you not only God's good news, listen closely, but also our own lives, because you had become so dear to us. Our own lives, our own spirit, everything we are. Number 4, turn to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Verse 16, behold, holding out an offering to everyone the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to rejoice greatly, because I did not run my race in vain, nor labored without results. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, for preaching the message of salvation, still I rejoice and share my joy with you all. Now, here's a reference. You can write Numbers 28:7. In the Old Testament, you have a form of an offering. You had so many different types of offering, burnt offering, all kinds of offering. One of the offerings that he was referring to is a drink offering. A drink offering is, it will be a drink, a wine, poured out onto the altar or the sacrifice. Paul is here comparing his ministry and his life as a form of worship to God. Listen closely. Whenever you preach, whenever you share your testimony, it's a form of worship to God. Did you get that? If you don't get anything else, Paul says that I poured out my life and ministry so you can be an acceptable offering to God. You see the analogy? You see the picture? Hello out there, y'all. Anybody? So toward the end of his life, you can write this down, 2 Timothy 4:6. Toward the end of his life, that scripture of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 will make more sense. He says, I'm about to pour all of my drink, my life, because he knew he was about to die. And at the end of his pouring, that's going to be the end of his life. So he's constantly not just pouring the word of God into the people, but his very life, his spirit, into the people. And as you pour the word of God in your life, your spirit as a form of worship to God, and these people are the sacrifices, the offerings to the Lord that your ministry is doing. That's a testimony. That's a worship. It's a form of worship. And this one is called the transparency. A person, a minister of integrity, will minister with transparency. His life is an open book. This is probably the touchiest one. Transparent, not being hypocritical. That's the opposite of being transparent. Being authentic, being yourself. One of the most difficult things through my life is not to admire other ministers to the point where I try to copy their mannerisms. Does that make sense? Not trying to be like them. Because you tend to mimic who you admire. I mean, the world is full of it. The ones they love, the songs and everything, they try to dress like them, talk like them. I can't tell you how, through the years of ministry, I've seen ministers mimic other ministers, and I can tell who they like. Even start talking like them. Even start walking like them. Minister 80 years old, and this 23-year-old is walking like an old man while he preaching. Have seen him so much, admire him so much, want to have a ministry like him to the point where they don't even know they're doing it. Being authentic. To be yourself. Not to be fake. Not to be phony. Not to have a facade. This is all on transparency. Not to manipulate and control situations and people. That's one of the difficult things a minister has to resist. Because he has an anointing on him. He has an authority on him. And he can use that in a wrong way for personal benefit. And how many people over the years have used the anointing for personal benefit? Not devious, not disingenuous, not unscrupulous, not calculating, not trying to figure out how to gain an advantage. Last scripture, 1 Corinthians 9. Verse 24, this is out of Amplified. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run their very best to win, but only one receives the prize? Run your race in such a way that you may seize the prize and make it yours. Not every athlete who goes into training and competes in the games is disciplined and exercises self-control in all things. Now every athlete who goes into the training and competes in the games is disciplined and exercises self-control in all things. They do it to win a crown that withers, but we do it to receive an imperishable crown that cannot wither. Therefore, I do not run without a definite goal. I do not flail around like one beating the air, just shadow boxing. But like a boxer, I strictly discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached the gospel to others, I myself will not somehow be disqualified as unfit for service. Now, this is Paul. All these scriptures that I've gone over, here's Paul summarizing everything. I personally discipline myself to do everything that I've preached. All these scriptures that we've gone over tonight. Paul is saying every day I have to exercise and keep my body under. Every day. The Apostle Paul. Every day. He has to watch that he doesn't be tricking people, manipulating people, deceiving people, taking advantage of people, using the word deceitfully. Every day, probably every hour. He said, everybody is in a race. Everybody is in their lane. Paul said, I'm endeavoring at the end of my race. Everybody has their own lane. They will receive their own prize. But it's up to us to discipline ourselves every day. And this is what I'm saying is one of the most difficult disciplines in life ever. It's to stay holy. It's to stay pure in your thoughts. It's to stay pure behind the scenes when nobody can see you. If you want to be a minister of integrity, this is a start. Father, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you that the Holy Spirit lives within us and enables us to live out this life that you're desiring us to live so we can please you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.